Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, thousands of students are left without safe and affordable accommodation as universities continue to grapple with a severe accommodation shortfall. We've had reports of students sleeping in lecture halls, falling victim to housing scams, and all of this is highlighting the urgency of the crisis. But the question is anything actually being done? To be perfectly honest with you, this is not a new question. I'm going to talk now to Benedict Johnson from the education financing company Fundi, and I want to discuss the real impact of this crisis and maybe if there are any new solutions on the table. So, Benedict, a very warm welcome. How severe is the shortage of accommodation in South Africa? Every year it seems to get worse and worse.
Yeah, no, it's getting worse and worse, but government has obviously shown strong commitment to increasing the student housing. So in 2020, there's been a shortage of about 500,000 beds. I know over the last years, they said that it will increase to about 780,000 beds. So yeah, that is what we're facing. I know government has launched a student housing infrastructure program that we're looking at delivering about 300,000 beds over the next 10 years. But yeah, so that is where we find ourselves today.
But it's not really keeping up with the immediate demand that exists right now.
No, it does not. Because obvious across campuses, there's increased registrations. So when that increased, the demand also increased from a bed size. So yeah, it's really, we all have to look at this. And I think there's not a lot of reporting around it. That's why it doesn't really get a lot of attention.
The result of the shortage and increasing shortage is that so many students fall victim to accommodation scams, which in itself is a tragedy given how vulnerable they are at the start of an academic career.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I think you have students that comes from their rural areas into your urban areas and obviously seeking accommodation online. You never know, is it a true accommodation or is it a scam? And then people pay deposits just to keep that room, only to come this side and find out, no, that room was never, it was a scam. And you can imagine if people save a lot of money towards accommodation and sending that student to these universities, a loss for them of 5,000 or even 10,000 is a lot in a family. Yes.
And let's assume that they do find a bona fide place to stay. Often that student housing doesn't meet the necessary quality standards.
Yeah, look, from a university point of view, there's some universities that focus basically on off-campus, and they do the standards and norm checks in making sure that it does meet. Then you have the unregulated market. Obviously, trying to house 700,000 or even 500,000 students, universities doesn't have that capacity. So you will have these unregulated spaces. And you can imagine how that impacts also the students studying at a university, because if his environment is not conducive to study, you can imagine the failure rate then is impacted. So there's a ripple effect across the board that we have to think about also.
Which, Benedict, then raises the issue, and this is where Fundi comes in, as to how private sector partnership can address the crisis. So is that working sufficiently and at the kind of pace that is needed?
No, so at this point in time, obviously we're working with some universities. We've developed a system which we call an unaccredited landlord system. Basically what it does, where students are housed in one, two, you know, at your house, one, two students at a house, we're trying to make sure that students can also be traced. Because at least it's the first step in making sure where a student at least stays. Because if a parent seeks and looks for his kid, at least you can go on that system and put in a student number and you can try and trace where that student was housed. So, and that we're working hand in hand with the universities to make sure at least you're bringing all that students that stays at all these unregulated places onto a platform that you can at least see where's the lease agreement. Yes, the university is also where the student stays. So that is at least the first step in the right direction. But obviously we need to accelerate everything that is happening around student housing to make sure we can deliver quicker.
So let's talk about that long-term acceleration. There is a government plan over the next 10 years, as you mentioned to me, but we need better, longer-term policies to prevent this crisis from accelerating.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I think a person made a suggestion. There's so many unused buildings that government owns that can be maybe revamped into student accommodation. I think we need to really come together and collaborate more in trying to get these solutions going. I know there was little progress so far in terms of the government program where they've started delivering some of these beds, but yeah, I think more conversation and more developers coming forward and working hand in hand with universities to see maybe universities got free land, developers can come in and develop and see with a partnership how they move forward. And I think that needs to happen now from this point going forward.
And all of this, of course, is contingent on the right support being available for students who are struggling to secure housing.
Yeah, most definitely. And from our side, obviously, all the accredited ones and off-campus ones that's secured for students, we've also got platforms that they can go on our platform and really search for those ones. But also, the need is, the demand is so high, those accommodation places also get quick taken up. So yeah, we need really more intervention from private sector, more intervention from all stakeholders to get to a solution quicker than the 10 years that we envisage to deliver 300,000. Because maybe after that, how many do we still need to catch up? So we really need to get together and really discuss this topic and really get to solutions that we can implement quicker.
Do you think it's still solvable, or given the increasing backlog, do you think that we've now reached that pivot point where we're going to sit with this problem for a long time?
It is solvable. I think when you look at Johannesburg, there's a container accommodation close to Fortsburg that I've seen. So there's different solutions and different building. We don't need to go to the stand and mortar type of buildings that we've got. I think there is new technology out there. There is new ways of building quicker. And I think we need to investigate those type of things instead of going your usual type of how we deliver housing and so on. Because if you can get containers, those type of containers can be set up. And I know I've seen some of those ones in Northwest. I've seen some in Joburg. And we really need to investigate those quicker type of ways to try and turn around this situation that we're finding ourselves in.
Benedict Johnson from Fundi, thank you very much indeed.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.